When I was pastoring, I used to like to have, at various times during the year, a lot of the members of the congregation give the message, particularly on midweek services, because they would come from their frame of reference in life, their particular vocation, and bring illustrations from that that always connected with something or somebody that some of us who spoke regularly couldn't or didn't. And likewise, when I did communion, I used to use a different translation quite often. And I had about 30 or so of them, and so it took a while to get through them all. So this morning I'm using a different translation. I'll use the Amplified this morning, and since I only do this once or twice a year, it'll take a long time for me to get through all the ones that I have. But join with me then as you listen and hear this particular translation, and perhaps it'll say something to you that the rote of the same words every week, sometimes we just turn out to. Paul's writing, of course, in the first epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 11, verse 23. For I received from the Lord himself that which I passed on to you. It was given to me personally that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was treacherously delivered up, and while his betrayal was in progress, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. In the tense, there is present emphatic, which, of course, is very strong, but it's also present, meaning this already is. And so there he sat, and he still said, This is my body. And so we should realize that he's talking about a living essence when we take the elements of communion. That takes a step of faith, but think about it. Just about everything you do in Christianity takes some faith, a little bit out of the ordinary. I can touch it, feel it, smell it, see it, whatever. This is my body, which was broken for you. Do this to call me affectionately to remembrance. Similarly, when supper was ended, he took the cup also, saying, This cup is the new covenant, ratified and established in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it, to call me affectionately to remembrance. For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are representing and signifying and proclaiming the fact of the Lord's death until he comes again. So then, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in a way that is unworthy of him will be guilty of profaning and sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. Let a man thoroughly examine himself, and only when he has done so should he eat the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discriminating and recognizing with true due appreciation that it is Christ's body, eats and drinks a sentence, a verdict of judgment upon himself. That careless and unworthy participation is the reason many of you are weak and sickly, and quite enough of you are fallen into the sleep of death. For if we searchingly examined ourselves, detecting our shortcomings and recognizing our own condition, we should not be judged and penalty decreed by the divine judgment. But when we fall short and are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined and chastened so that we may not finally be condemned to eternal punishment along with the world. Powerful. Well, first, let me say that in this congregation, we practice what's called open communion. That means you don't have to be a member of this church. You simply have to be a member of the body of Christ, and you know what it means to be have your sins forgiven and be saved, redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, and have accepted him into your life. And so if that's the case, you are very welcome. And I thought, how fitting that we sang, where is it here? Be unto me according to thy word. These are powerful words. These are powerful words in communion. And like so often, most of us, when we read the Bible, there's a whole lot of verses that they don't put in promise boxes. Because they're the verses of judgment. And we need to remember that in communion, there's some incredible promises of life and health and healing and so forth. But there's also warnings of judgment. And if we're going to confess these things and say, be it unto me according to thy word, if we have faith for the good stuff, we ought to have a certain trepidation about the negative promises as well. And so we take communion very, very seriously. We think it's a great blessing of life that God has given to us. When he says, do this in remembrance, I like to believe that we're remembering our own initial salvation experience and that sense of change that happened in our lives. And we're remembering that. Because if you remember yours, you remember that you became somewhat obnoxious to everybody in your circle there for a while. Because now you were a Christian and you wanted to talk about the things of the Lord and so forth. And what's the matter with you? You've changed. Praise God, yes. So we want to remember that and hopefully by taking communion be restored to a new resurgence of exuberance in our lives. That's good. I also like the emphasis on examine ourselves. Have you ever felt convicted of a double standard? It's always easier to judge others with a little more criticalness than we judge ourselves. And communion doesn't say a thing about looking at your brother or sister in Christ. It's just, look at you, buddy. Look at you. And let a man thoroughly examine himself, and only when he has done so should he take communion. Ooh, ouch. If we would be as harsh on ourselves as we tend to be on others, it would be a lot easier for the Holy Spirit to work conviction and change in our lives, wouldn't it? Oh, my. Well, there are great promises of health and healing here, and we want to emphasize those. So be encouraged as we partake this morning. I don't understand it, and I know the theologians have all sorts of big words, which I won't go into this morning. But I believe, by faith, what Jesus said happens. This is my body. Now, I can't intellectually handle that, but by heart, by faith, I can. And the most important thing is, when he says, this is my body, he's saying, I have come to give my life for yours. So I want you to receive life, life not just substitutionary, but as a process of change in your own being, so that you go out from this service today with a renewed sense of divine life within you, because you have partaken of something holy and divine and pure and powerful. That's incredible. So, yeah, I can't intellectually explain it, but I can say, by faith. And that's what we're here for. We're here by faith. So as we receive, and if you would take the wafer in your hand, and as we receive it, simply believe, I am receiving the life of God through Jesus Christ. And it's going to change me. It's going to help me. If I need healing, I've got healing. By his stripes, I'm healed. Whatever it is, body, soul, or spirit, health, power, grace, love, peace, joy, everything good in the divine, we receive and partake of, and therefore can express more fully in our lives. So let's partake together. Jesus, we thank you for your body this morning as broken for us to provide us healing, but more importantly, suffer death that we might, by that exchange, be forgiven, receive life, forgiveness, redemption. Move into an exciting new realm of relationship with you and expressiveness of you into this world today. We thank you for it, Lord. We receive it with great thanksgiving. And he also took the cup. And he said, this is a new covenant. You see, covenants were established by the shedding of blood. It's not generally well known, but when Dr. Livingston went across to Africa, he survived by entering into slit-wrist blood covenant with every chief as he went from tribe to tribe to tribe. Now, obviously, you wouldn't do that in Africa today because of the concern over the life or the death that's in the blood. But in those days, it was what happened. And likewise, Jesus is referring to this as we see from Abraham on down. Covenants were confirmed by the sacrifice or shedding of some sort of blood, usually an animal, of course, But Jesus is saying, this is the new covenant. You're no longer under the covenant of law or all the other Old Testament covenants. Now you're under a covenant of grace. And I affirm that contract with you by the shedding of my blood. Once again, powerful. Now, we know all the nice hymns about washing my sins away and covered by the blood and et cetera, et cetera. And I'm not denying any of that. That's fine. But we also need to understand the old contract's torn up, new one's established, and it's affirmed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Receive, again, with thanksgiving. Father, we do indeed thank you that we can now live not under a covenant of law, but a covenant of grace, receiving gifts we didn't deserve, and mercy, not receiving what we did deserve. Truly, your love for us is expressed in such a multitude of ways. So we thank you that you saw so many different ways to minister provision to us, to cause us to remember and to receive life. Truly, you want us to understand, identify, receive, and accept so that we can express the life that is within us through Jesus Christ. We thank you for it. Amen.